good evening. My name is Richard. This is Over and Over and Over Again. This is the England World Cup review show, looking back on this morning's another nervy victory, wasn't it? 1-0 against Denmark, but it is two wins out of two, and we couldn't really have done any more than that, could we? So we can't have too much to complain about. Obviously, we will look at the another serious injury. We've suffered so many this season, haven't we? And another one today. So we'll look at that. We'll also look back on the first week or so of the World Cup, what we've made of it all so far, the standout teams, who we think are the new favourites maybe to go all the way. And of course, we'll look at how England have been getting on and the Arsenal women as well, because we've had a few good performances, haven't we? So lots and lots to get through. We'll get cracking the other side of our new introduction, of course, with music from Pete Drake, as always. Lionesses, you come so far, but don't forget though who you are. Your roots are yours, but also ours, giving hope to rising stars. Lionesses, here we go. Beautiful song there from Pete Drake, of course, for the World Cup. And joining us, as usual, is, of course, Andreas. How are you today?
Yeah, I'm not bad at all. Good evening, everybody. Good evening, Richard.
Good to see you again. Obviously, back in more familiar surroundings this week.
Yeah. Back home, yeah. And I had the chance to watch the match, as I had still day off today. Yeah, as you said, a nervy victory, a nervy match, and besides the 3 points, I think everybody feels disappointed or, I was not able to be happy after the match because this injury is one we saw too many this season, and right at the moment when Kira went down, I thought, oh, doesn't look good, and then when her teammates came and wanted to help her up, and she said, no, I can't, and then made this gesture to Serena. I think it would be a big surprise if it's not her ACL. So it's strange feelings today. Yeah, we won. We have the 3 points. But to be honest, I would have taken a draw and no injury and the chance to make it against China. I would have preferred this.
I mean, it's not just so. Obviously, any injury is not great. And when it looks like an ACL injury, which it does, let's be honest, that was my first thought when I saw it. You know, as you said, we've seen so many this season, haven't we? Watching Arsenal, it's happening on a regular basis. So we kind of knew straight away that's what it looked like. And to lose a player that's that important to the team and a player that we don't really have a natural replacement for in the squad either, couldn't have been a worse timing for it, really. And there's not that there's a good time for an injury like that anyway, but certainly, you know, early on in a World Cup campaign with a player that we don't have a replacement for does create problems for us going forward in the tournament. But also, you know, it's a big, massive problem for Kira herself. And, you know, we hope, fingers crossed, it isn't as bad as it looks. And that maybe it's not actually, maybe the ACL hasn't sort of, you know, been ruptured, and she's going to be back playing quickly, but it doesn't look great. It didn't look great, did it? And you're right, it did. It overshadowed the whole game, didn't it? Because after that, it's difficult, isn't it? We've seen it with Arsenal this season, haven't we? When we've lost a player to an injury and it's difficult for the team. You know, when we've got injured, we never really got going in that game. When Leah got injured, we never got going in that game. You know, the Beth Mead one was right at the end of the game anyway, so it didn't affect that game so much. And obviously Laura's won, so much else was going on that night maybe, but again, that had an effect, I think, as well. So it is difficult, and I thought that, you know, in the circumstances, maybe the second half, at the time it was frustrating to watch it, but when you look at the context of it, maybe you can understand that, you know, it was a difficult situation for everybody, and we had to get through that game. Luckily we had the 1-0 lead to hang on to. We hung on to it. And to be fair, apart from when they hit the post at the end, they didn't really look like scoring, did they, Denmark, to be fair? They didn't create a lot of chances. Mary Earps didn't have a lot to do. And I wasn't particularly worried that they might score, apart from that one chance. But it was more about... and yes, I mean, obviously, we can't not talk about the performance without the injury, because the two are definitely connected. There's no doubt about that. And we did start the game really well, didn't we? For 20 minutes, we were brilliant, I thought. That was more like the England Lionesses team that we saw last year, isn't it? You know, we play with energy. We were winning the ball back high up the pitch. We were getting balls into the box. We were creating problems for Denmark's defence. And we got a great goal as well early on. And I thought that was going to settle us down and we'd go on and dominate the game. And it was going to be another Norway-like performance, I felt, in the early stages of that game. Not for so many goals as Norway, probably, but just that sort of dominant performance. But I thought even before Kira got injured, we'd started to lose our way a little bit in the game. You know, we'd dropped our intensity a little bit. We'd given the ball away in some silly areas of the pitch. Denmark had one or two counter-attacks and threatened a goal a couple of times. You know, there was a good opportunity, wasn't there? It was shot across the goal, I thought, had gone in at the time. So, you know, we'd started to lose our way in that game before the injury. So it wasn't just because of that. Obviously, it was going to be difficult after the injury to pick ourselves up again. And I think we have to understand that. But it's still, for me, and even in the circumstances of this game, I'm still slightly concerned at how the team are playing and how we're gelling or not gelling, as it turned out. And the decision-making in the final third is not great, is it, at this moment in time? It hasn't been for a while now. And obviously, it wasn't great today, was it? We got the goal, but other than that, we didn't have too many good chances, did we, to increase that lead? And it's a worry, isn't it?
Yeah, but as you said, the first 20 minutes were really, really good. And I think we had 75% ball possession in the first 20 minutes. So Denmark was not able to come over the middle line. Not saying that they came in front of our goal. So it was a dominant performance. And the first 20 minutes really gave hope that things are developing and that we get into this tournament, that we get our run. It was a brilliant goal from Lauren James.
Yeah,
I know you don't like her, but this was really well done from her. And there was another chance a few minutes later. And yeah, it was not the 100% chance, but we were dominant. So at that moment, so after 20 minutes, I thought it's only a question when we make the second. And the second goal, I think, at that moment, would have settled the match because Denmark was in. Then there were three good situations from Denmark. Two times we gave away the ball too easy in midfield or in their half. And their counterattack was dangerous. But three really good chances for Denmark. And then the match changed a bit. Denmark was in the match, and then the injury happened, and I think this was a shock situation for our players. And it's in their mind, and you must deal with such a situation. So after the injury break, I thought only bring this 1-0 to halftime, and then let's concentrate afresh, because we saw at Arsenal how such an injury can influence a match. The Lyon match when Wiff went down and the United match away with Lia's injury very early. So I think after the injury, it was only a question, can we bring the 1-0 to halftime? I hope that there will be, they can regroup or concentrate fresh. And the second half, of course, it's only 1-0 lead and everything can happen. But Denmark was not so, how can we say, dangerous or threatening our goal. Of course, they were better in the match than in the first 20 minutes. But it was never a situation when you thought, the match has changed or we're going to lose this match. We tried to control. We were still the better team with light chances. Once again, if we would have scored a second, middle of the second half, then the match would have been sealed again. But we didn't score. And so, then the last minutes, everything can happen. There was this header against the post. Well, could have been the equalizer. And then everybody would have said, England playing such a bad tournament. No, we are not playing a bad tournament. We kept the clean sheet for a second match. Mary Earps is really fantastic in this tournament again. And despite all the problems, the defense is solid so far. And we are creating chances. We not the 100% chances. And of course, we don't score. But yeah, you can't say that, for example, Alesha is playing bad. No, she's making the runs. She's creating space for her teammates. And she had one chance again. And yeah, it's a problem that we don't score. Life would be much, much easier when you have 2-0, 3-0 up. But if you have only one goal lead, then the opponent is always in the match. It's still in the 95th minute, everything can happen. And so, yeah, at the end, just steal the 3 points. And we have 6 points now. We need one more point to go through. And it should be possible, because I saw China against Haiti. China didn't deserve to win. It was a lucky situation with the penalty. And in the last minute or so, Haiti should have got the penalty. So at least Haiti would have deserved a draw. And then we would have been through to the knockout stage. But we can beat China. Let's be self-confident and say, why shouldn't we be able to beat China? It must be possible.
No, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, I've seen nothing in the two games I've seen China to worry that we can't beat them. We totally can, and we only need a draw, as you said, and that wins us the group. So, you know, it's not certainly it's in our hands, and I'll be amazed if we don't at least get that draw that we need, and if we don't get all 3 points, it'll be a bit of a shock, wouldn't it? I suppose, but I don't know. I mean, Alessia Russo today. I agree. I don't think she had a bad game at all. I think the problem was she just got no service whatsoever, did she? You know, she made some good runs. She was in the right places, and the ball just didn't come where she needed it to be. And I was getting frustrated for her watching the game, because she was dropping deeper and deeper, wasn't she, to get the ball, because it wasn't coming to her. And then she ended up, most of her touches would have probably been around about the halfway line, because she was dropping that deep to get the ball. And then when she got a run into the box, the ball didn't come into her. And I was feeling really, really sorry for her, because it must be frustrating as a striker to not get any service at all. I mean, in two games, basically, the only opportunities that she's had are opportunities that basically she had to create herself. She's not having opportunities created for her. And It is frustrating for her, I'm sure it is, but you know, let's hope that the chances do come, because she will score if she's given the opportunity. We've seen that enough times to know. But yeah, it was a difficult game for her, Alessia Russo. Actually, I did feel really sorry for her, because she just did not get the service that a striker craves for. You're not going to score goals without decent service coming in, no matter how good you are as a player. And the one chance that she had, you felt as though when she picked up that ball, she knocked it past the defender and she ran towards the penalty area. There were maybe better options for her at that time, but you knew she's had no chances. She's going to shoot. Of course she's going to shoot. Why wouldn't it be? You know, she had to shoot. And it wasn't a great effort. It was wide of the target, and that was that. But yeah, you could see, had she maybe got a goal earlier in that game or had a few chances, she may well have passed that ball to someone in a better position. She was a little bit too wide to score from there, but I understood why she did it, because of the little opportunities that she had. But yeah, it's, I don't know. I was saying earlier on today, I feel as though with things as they are now, obviously with the players that we've got injured, now losing Kira as well, but even before Kira's injury, over the last, I don't know, 5 or 6 games, I feel as though if the Euros had been this summer, even with home advantage, I don't think we would have won it. With the way the team are at this moment in time, with the way we're playing, with the players missing, with one or two other kind of issues that I don't know, that we don't seem quite as in tune as we were last year. And yes, we had the home crowd with us. It was all, everything was different. But I just feel even with that this year, I think we would lose that game to Spain, for example, that we scraped through last year. I think this year we would lose that game in similar circumstances. So, you know, maybe last year was our year, it was meant to be, and it was. With this year, maybe it's just not our year, maybe it's not meant to be our time. It doesn't look that way, but it's only two games, we've won them both, so let's not too be down about it. It's just we don't look the same England team to me. And yes, we have got those key players missing, we've said that already, but we don't look the same. It doesn't look like we've got, like, you know, as you mentioned there, and Terry said in the chat there, he said He said, to be honest, other than we got the win, there wasn't much else to celebrate. And exactly. And you kind of felt that with the players, didn't you? They didn't look at the end of a game last year in the Euros, even some of the, you know, games that we won easily or not so easily, that the players were so overjoyed that they'd won the game. And this time we've won two games and nobody's really celebrated too much. And I think that's a reflection on where this team currently is at the moment, at this moment in time, with form, with players missing, with just some sort of lack of cohesion in the side. I mean, it is still early in the tournament, only two games. You know, we're virtually through to the knockout stage, given a miracle in the China game. Because even if we lost the China game, we could still go through, couldn't we? Unless we lost heavily and other results didn't go our way. So it seems likely we'll go through, but... Do you not feel that we're not in that kind of place where a potential tournament winner would expect to be at this point now with two games in? It's not like we haven't started yet. They're not friendlies. We've had two games in the tournament. And although we've won them, I'm not getting that feeling from this team, even that they don't. Last year, you knew they believed they could win that tournament. You knew it. You could feel it every single second they were on that pitch. I haven't felt that this time in this World Cup. You don't feel that they believe they can win it. Do you feel that, or is it maybe just that we're just overreacting a little bit because the performances haven't been quite at the level we've been used to?
No, exactly. You're right. Last year it was different in the preparation. We won all the friendlies before. There were fantastic results before, and it was a mood or an atmosphere. If not this year, when should we win a tournament at home with this form the players are in and everything? And this year is different. But never forget, we missed three key players, now four key players. And if you take out four key players from every other nation, they will perform not as good as they did before. I know we must live with the situation and we have to deal with this. Everything okay, but the fact remains: there are still three and now four key players in defensive midfield, offense with Van Kirby and the best striker. That's a problem, and I think that's in the team as well. They feel how difficult it is so far in this tournament, and there was no big win to celebrate. It's just, I think, for the players, it's the same feeling that, okay, let's take the 3 points and go on. And there's no reason why they should be extremely happy. Oh, we have won 1-0 against Denmark, Yibi. No, they feel the same. They feel okay. Let's take the 3 points and go on, and try to avoid what was not good in the next match, or even the injury situation must have been in their mind after the match. I'm sure they are thinking on this situation, and every player was thinking, okay, we have the 3 points, but how can we deal with this situation for the next match? There is no Sweet Caroline and dancing. It's understandable.
Maybe you're right. Maybe it's a little bit of that as well, because obviously everything was in our favour last year. We were at home as well and all that as well. And I do feel that, but I don't know. I kind of get the feeling, not just in these two games at the World Cup, but going back to the game previously, it seems to be they don't seem to be playing with as much joy as they seem to last year. And I know the atmosphere is different, you know, we're over the other side of the world, it's not the same. But even before the World Cup, in the games leading up to it, it's like they wasn't playing with that same smile on their face that they seem to be playing with last year. And even in the games directly after the Euros, you know, we still had that kind of joy about the way that we played, and we don't seem to have that at the moment. It seems to have gone. And yes, the key players are, you're absolutely right, no other nation in the world could play the same with four of their best players out of the team. It's impossible. You can't, no team in the world can do that, let alone a country where you can only pick the players from your nation. You can't just buy new players in. Nobody can cope with that, and that's maybe that's part of it. I mean, I've said it a few times now, and certainly watching that game today, You know, you think back to the Euros last year. It wasn't like Ellen White wasn't scoring abundance of goals. She wasn't the main goal scorer in that team. You know, she worked hard. She was making good runs. A bit like Russo today. She didn't always get the best service, did she, Ellen White? And in the end, what was happening was sometimes the crosses were being overhit like they are now. But what was happening was Beth Mead would get on the end of them because that's where she was. And then when she got on the end of it, she could make something happen, either scoring a goal or creating a goal for somebody else to score. And that's the biggest reason why we're not scoring as many goals, I think, because we've lost that player who was doing that in the penalty area. And now they're not. I mean, you look at today, how many times did Chloe Kelly get herself into a goal scoring position in that match? Hardly ever. I mean, Lauren James, yes, it was a great goal cutting in, brilliant finish. And she had a great game today. And you're right. I've been a bit of a critic of her because I don't feel she's consistent enough regularly. But I thought today she was brilliant. She was our best player by a mile today. Absolutely brilliant. And she scored a great goal. But again, apart from that goal and that cross that came in that almost hit her and went in, it's not like she was constantly getting into goal scoring positions, was she? You know, in the way that Beth was doing in the Euros last year and prior to that, as well, all the goals that she scored. And I do feel that we're missing that. And can we find somebody to do that in this team? I don't think we can, because we've tried it and it's not happening. You know, Chloe Kelly isn't that sort of player. She plays a different way. You know, Lauren James plays a totally different way. And Lauren Hemp as well. You know, Lauren Hemp's a fantastic player, doesn't score enough goals, or certainly doesn't score the number of goals that Beth Mead would score. And these are issues, and it's something. But I don't think it's just individual players that are missing. It seems to be more than that. It does seem to be more than that for me. Just the smile's gone. And, you know, as Terry says there, he says, you know, we've lost that arrogance and swag. Yeah, and it is. That's definitely what's gone. And, yes, that does come from a series of poorer performances leading into the World Cup as well, doesn't it? You lose your confidence and you do lose your swagger a little bit. When you're winning games 4-5-0, of course, you're on top of the world, aren't you, every time you play? And that's had an impact as well, obviously. And it's difficult then to have that arrogance about your game. But I don't know. That was what made us so successful. And that's what made this team so great to watch as well, because of that. And now it's not there. It's more difficult to enjoy the games the same way, isn't it? Because the football now is not. I thought today we became very predictable, I felt, in that game. You know, Millie Bright hitting a long ball, sometimes aimlessly to nobody, into the corners, and nobody was on the end of it. Or, you know, sometimes we were trying to overplay a little bit in midfield. And I know obviously second half was hard without Kira in there and all that kind of stuff, but even before that, I say it was sometimes where, and in the previous game, where we've, I don't know, it's not flowing. It isn't flowing, is it? Last year everything was flowing. Whatever we tried worked. You know, we play Millie Bright would play a long ball and it would lead to a goal or a chance. Now Millie Bright plays a long ball, it goes out for a throw-in, you know. And this is the difference in this team now to what we saw last year. And unless, I mean, you know, there's more than one way to win a match. There's more than one way to win a tournament. And, you know, how we won it last year, if we do win another tournament, it's going to be totally different, probably, in the way that we do it. I don't see us looking at, obviously now we've seen every team play, some teams have played twice, and I don't see anything to suggest that this England team can win this tournament. So I haven't seen anything yet. That doesn't mean we can't. I just haven't seen something to make me think, you know what, when it comes to these big knockout games against some of the better sides, have we got enough about us? You know, if we're struggling to beat Haiti team who, you know, give everything, but are not a top side in the world, we struggle to beat a Denmark side who really were quite poor, I thought, today. I know we contributed to that, but they weren't very great in the first game either. If we're struggling to beat these teams, how are we going to find a way to beat a Spain or a Brazil or an America or even a Holland or a France in a knockout stage, or in Australia even, with the home crowd? I mean, are you worried about where this tournament might end for England now? Or do you think that we just have to, you know, we've won the two games and build and try to see if we can build on it? But I don't see us doing that at this moment. And without Kier, it's going to be even more difficult, of course.
Yeah, we are missing the creativity that we had last year. But this is, we are always coming back to missing the key players. We had Leah Williamson in defense, but she's also one with a long ball, the passes. She has an eye for developing situations. And and Leah and Kira creating these chances with long balls, and now we are missing both. Georgia Stanway probably has to drop deeper in the next matches. Maybe she will be a bit the number six role. We will miss her creativity and her power in the offense. And once again, we are missing Fran Kirby. I rate her really high. She was not the one to score the many goals last year, but she's also a player who sees spaces, who creates space for her teammates. And the other thing, what you mentioned, Ellen White, of course, she was over her top and over her best last year, but she was very important in the attacking line because of the runs she made or just the space she created for the others. And of course, Alessia Russo, she had this one chance, and a striker wants to score, and you can't say to her, when you have one chance, you must look, is somebody else better positioned? Also, she wanted to take this chance. It's totally understandable. And what she needs would be crosses or set pieces, corners in the box. She's strong in the air, or that they feed her with long balls, with passes where she can use her pace. Once again, as I said, we are lacking this creativity. There is nothing. It's all those static and slow, and nobody has the idea or sees the space. And then another pass for 3 meters right and back, and then the long ball over 20, 30 meters going out. It's no real idea, no surprising action for the opponents. And Denmark, you must say Denmark didn't try to equalize. Or what were they waiting for? I thought the middle of the second half. What is Denmark waiting for? They are 1-0 behind, and they are not really trying to score. So it was not the best match to watch in the second half, because one team was leading 1-0. Was not able to create more chances to score the second, and the other team was 1-0 behind and said, okay, let's wait, and maybe we'll get a surprising goal also. So, and England is not the only team that has problems. Of course, we saw Spain and USA, Japan, Germany, but look at France. They have their problems. Australia has problems. Canada. All these big names, big nations, they have their problems. And you can't say that a team that has won 3-0, 5-0 in the first round, they will continue this way. At the moment, I wouldn't say that England has a chance to reach the semifinals. I don't think so. But the tournament starts anew with the knockout stage. And you go through the group stage, then the tournament really starts, and everything is possible in 90 minutes or 120 minutes. Then, and if you go through the first knockout match, then the self confidence can rise, and maybe you get a run. Then, right now, I would say it's USA, Spain, Germany, Japan, but. Let's wait. If Australia goes through the group stage, if it's not sure that they will go through, but if they go through, then with the home crowd and everything, is everything possible? And if Sam Kerr returns, they are missing their key player too. France had a very bad start in the tournament, missing key players. Maybe Selma Bachar will return. Maybe France only needs one win and they are competitive again. Other nations have their problems too, and so the most important in a group stage is to qualify, and let's hope that we can do this.
Yeah, and I mean, there's plenty of nations in this World Cup that would be grateful for two wins out of two, wouldn't they? So, you know, we have to take the positives from that. They haven't been the two greatest performances ever, but in a tournament, it's all about the results, isn't it? You know, you can't afford to lose. Yes, in the group stage, you might get away with one defeat if you're lucky, but you can't get away with too many defeats in a tournament or you're out. So it is about getting the results that you need. And despite not playing at our best, nowhere near our best, I don't think, we've still got two wins and two clean sheets. And you know, we're in a very strong position to be in that knockout. And like you said, a game of football, we've got players that can compete against anybody. We've got a team that can compete against anybody. There's no doubt about that. But we would have to play at our maximum level against some of these teams that we've seen so far if we were to beat them in a 90-minute game or 120 minutes, whatever. So, yeah. And I agree. Some other nations have got their problems as well, clearly. You know, not everybody's firing away on all cylinders. And I do feel as though it's a little bit misleading. You look at Brazil and you look at Spain and you look at the opposition that they've played, and you have to think to yourselves, if we had played opposition like that, I think we would have won at least 3-0 in one of our games. You know what I mean? We would be probably feeling a lot happier with life. I do feel as though we've had two difficult games in different ways. Haiti were a bit unknown, and they've turned out to be actually quite a good side. They work hard, they're very physical, they're fast, and they're a difficult opponent. Obviously, Denmark today with the injury threw our performance a lot. But Denmark were quite organised, I felt. Yeah, they lacked any sort of attacking intent much of the game. But we've had two, you know, more difficult games than some of the other nations that have romped through. Germany, for example, if we'd played Morocco, that Morocco team that Germany beat, I'm not saying we'd have beat them 6-0, but I'm sure we'd have won that game a lot more comfortably than we've won either of the two games that we play. That's the nature of your opponent as well sometimes. But yeah, we'll need to play better if we're going to beat the better teams later on in a tournament as it goes through, if we're going to progress and keep ourselves in a tournament as long as we can. And that's something that hopefully we can do. You know, we've got to have faith in the team to be able to do it, because I say they don't seem to know when they're beaten. They seem to be able to find a way, don't they, to get a result. And, you know, under Serena, apart from that one game against Australia, we've found a way to get a result in every other single game, whether it's a draw or a win. So, you know, we have to be confident that we can do that again as this tournament goes on. But, yeah, there's a few issues that we need to overcome. And what I found interesting was, I don't know whether or not you saw the BBC coverage of the game, probably not, but they had Jonas in the studio. And after the game, they were talking to Jonas, obviously, about the injury to Ciara Walsh and who can come in. And he said, because of the way Ciara Walsh plays, the only way England can compensate for that is to play two players in her position in the next game. And I thought that was very interesting. But which two players would we play there? Do we drop Georgia Stanway a little bit deeper into that more defensive role and then play somebody else alongside Katie Zellum maybe, or I don't know. I mean, what? Obviously, the game against China is a game we need a result in. We've got this problem now in midfield. I mean, is Jonas right? I mean, we shouldn't doubt Jonas because he's generally right. But do you think that we maybe should need to change a little bit of the setup of the team and maybe play two number sixes, as he called it, in the team against China to compensate for what Ciara brings us?
Yeah, I think if Jonas analyzed this, we should trust him because he has a very good view on the match, or his analyses are very good. Yeah, Ciara is such an important player, and I don't know whether Katie Zellum can take her role or Laura Coombs came in. This could be an idea to bring Katie Zellum and Georgia Stanway in a sort of double six. But then, of course, we will lack more creativity in the attacking part of the midfield.
Put Lauren James in there. Put Lauren James in Ella Toon's position, where she went later in the game anyway. I think she's a good player in that position. Mm-hmm. And then so you could have the two maybe sitting. You could put Georgia Stanway a little bit deeper, Katie Zellum next to her, Lauren James just in front in that kind of free role a little bit, and then, you know, in the front three, obviously, you know, Chloe Kelly will probably start, Lauren Hemp and Russo, and there you go. And that's, would that be the way to deal with this problem? You know, it's I think we've missed Georgia Stanway's burst from midfield that she brings us, and that those runs from midfield. But to do a job for the team, not only against China, but potentially for the rest of the tournament, because it's unlikely Kira's going to be fit to play in the rest of the World Cup, regardless of how serious injury is. So it certainly, I mean, when Jonas said that after the game, I thought to myself, you know what, that actually makes sense to do it that way, rather than, because we haven't got another player in the squad that can do Kira Walsh's job, not one player. We don't have it. Nobody does it probably in the world. So that's a good point, isn't it? Maybe put two there. And yes, we're going to lose a little bit of attacking impetus in midfield, potentially a little bit, but it's important to be more defensively solid without Kira there, because that could become a problem against the better teams in particular, couldn't it?
Yeah, the normal backup for Kira would have been Leah Williamson, but
so we
are missing the number one solution for the defensive midfield role, and we are missing the backup. Another problem is the bad form El Atun is in. We spoke about this when we made the outlook for the tournament. I already said El Atun had a bad second half of the season for United, and it seems that she doesn't come out of this bad part of her performance. Both matches at the World Cup weren't good from her. And it's a problem if you have a player on number 10 position who is out of form and who is not bringing anything for the team. The alternatives are not that great. If you take Lauren James in this number 10 role, I would try this too. But then you must bring Lauren Hemp and Chloe Kelly on the wings, and Alessia in number 9 or Bethany England. But whom to bring in? I mean, Jordan Knobs is in the squad, but I don't think that she will get many minutes. You saw that Serena brought in Laura Coombs. So you see how she rates her midfielders. It's a problem. And probably against China, we have to look for our defense. And as long as we keep clean sheet against China, then we will qualify. So then even if it's a 0-0 draw, we are through. So we have to be, we have to look for our defense that there is stability and that nothing happens there. And the other problem position was the left back, and now Rachel Daly is back in this role. She was playing at the Euros. She's probably not the best left back, but maybe Serena saw that Jess Carter or Alex Greenwood aren't the best solution for this position. So Alex Greenwood can be a centre-back together with Millie. It's difficult, and the team is just building or developing. Let's hope we qualify and don't get the best opponent or the strongest opponent in the first knockout match. I think the farther we go through the tournament, the better the chances will be that this team finds together or gets a good run.
Yeah, no, I think that's true. And to be honest with you, we've got to look at it that we will get, assuming we win the group, which looks likely now, we will get the runners-up in Australia's group. And to be honest with you, I've watched most of the games in Australia's group, and there's nothing there really that worries me particularly, whoever we might get. You know, Canada haven't been fantastic. We know they're a great team, but they haven't been playing that well. Australia, I think, can be beaten, as Nigeria showed. Yes, Sam Kerr, if she's fit, would be a slightly different proposition. And obviously Nigeria, who have played some great football, I wouldn't be worried about playing them. I'm not saying they're not a good side who could beat us, but I wouldn't be worried about playing any of those three teams in that group, whoever we get. So I think that's a good thing for me, that's going to be our knockout game against one of those three teams. And I feel we can beat any of those three on our day if we play well. And then, like you said, we're in the quarterfinals, and anything can happen. Anything can happen. And yes, it's going to be a tough game, whoever you get in that stage of any tournament, isn't it? So we saw that last year in the Euro, didn't we? You know, we had Spain in the quarterfinals and we almost come unstuck, didn't we, straight away. So, but yeah, it is something that we'll have to just grow into the tournament. We keep saying we're going to grow into it and we don't seem to have quite got there yet, but it is still early. Hopefully we've still got a few games left. Terry says, will England have what it takes to go 1 or 2-0 behind and come back? I'm not so sure now. Well, 2-0 behind is difficult for anybody to come back from, let's be honest. I mean, 1-0, it's not often under Serena we've been 1-0 down. You know, the Spain game was the biggest example of that, and we turned that one around just in the end. So I don't know. We'll have to see. Well, hopefully we won't go 1-0 down. So we won't have to find out. But yeah, let's see. I do feel as though the one thing, even though we're not playing well, I do feel as though this team do have that will to win and that kind of mentality. I don't think mentality is the problem. And I do feel that if when their backs are against the wall, if that's the case in one of these games later on, I do feel as though we're strong enough mentally to be able to deal with it. And hopefully we've got the quality and on the pitch to be able to turn the game around as we did against Spain. We'll have to see. I just don't, sometimes you look at our bench. I was looking at our bench today in the second half and you're looking at it thinking, who really is a game changer on that bench? Yeah, Lauren Hemp was the most obvious one, looking at the, you know, she'd been left out of the starting lineup. She was the most obvious game changing substitution. But other than that, I looked at the team and thought, who can come on in this game or in any game and really have that impact that we had from the substitutes at the Euros? I don't see it so much now in this team. You know, in the end today, I thought Denmark's substitutes had more of an impact on the game than ours did. You know, one of them hit the post with that header. Another one had put a cross in. They made more of an impact on that game, their substitutions, than ours did. Whereas last year, our subs had massive impact every single game, didn't they? And that's the difference this time as well, which kind of worried me a little bit looking at it, thinking, who can come on in this team and make a big difference? You know, Beth England, yes, Beth England can score goals. You get her the ball inside the penalty area, she can score goals. She almost nicked one today, didn't she? She was only on for 10 minutes and she almost nicked a goal there with a header. And that's what she can bring. But is she a game-changing substitute? I'm not sure if she is, really. I think she's a sort of sub that if you're winning 3-0, she comes on, she adds a fourth goal or a fifth goal in a game that you've already won. Is she the type of player, if you're losing, to come on and get you a goal to save you and win you the game? I don't know. Maybe she'll prove me wrong. I just don't see that in her necessarily. I don't think she's that sort of a player. And, you know, today, apart from Lauren Hemp, I didn't see anyone on that bench that made me think that we've got a game changer here waiting to come on and change the game. I just didn't see it today. Obviously, if it's going to come down to Lauren Hemp or Lauren James starting, then either one of those two is that impact player. But other than that, I don't see anyone else. And you can't leave both of them out of the team to have two impact subs, because then you've got no one on the pitch in the first place to do those things. So, yeah, it's a little bit of an issue at the minute. But, you know, maybe we're overthinking it a little bit. Maybe we just need to let the team carry on what they're doing. We're winning games. You know, it's not the end of the world, is it? You know, how many World Cups have we seen with the men in particular where, you know, we've lost one of our first two games, or, you know, we've drawn a game and struggled in the game, and you know, we might go out of the group stage. And, you know, England Lioness is now in a position where we won both games. We're virtually through. Why are we worried? But we're just not at the same level that we know we can play it. We've seen it. We've seen this team do it. And that's the only thing, really. Terry says, my problem with Lauren James is if things aren't going right, her head drops real quick. I just think she gives that impression. I'm not sure if it necessarily does. She looks a little bit, her head looks like it drops quite often in a game anyway, even when things are going well sometimes. I think it's just her manner on the pitch, her demeanour. I don't necessarily think that's true. Because if you notice with Lauren James, every time she gets the ball, she wants to run at people. She wants to make something happen. Always, constantly, she's doing it, isn't she? So I'm not sure if it's her head. I just think it's just her nature, the way she is, the way she comes across on the pitch. I just, you know, I don't think she's got a confidence problem. I don't, honestly. In fact, sometimes I think maybe she's a little bit too confident in herself sometimes. And maybe she needs to be a little, it comes across that way, doesn't it, to me? A little bit arrogant, which sometimes is a good thing, as we mentioned before, but I don't know. I don't think it's a lack of confidence with Lauren James. I don't think that's the issue. I think it could be sometimes the other way around a little bit. But she was great today, and she's going to be an important player in this World Cup. I said before the World Cup started, she could be the key player, that could make a big impact in this World Cup. And so far, she's not done too bad, has she? So let's hope that continues, because we do need her to be on top of her game and the others as well. Terry says, do you think the England girls have played too much football over the last two or three seasons? Yeah. As I can understand, if one or two players had an off day, but it seems the whole squad. Yeah, I mean, that's a big issue, isn't it? I mean, you think there was a an Olympics, there was a obviously a WSL season, there was a Euros, another WSL season, and now a World Cup. This is in consecutive years because they lost a year of no tournaments because of COVID. They've had to squeeze it all in. And I think you're right. But then that's not just England that have had those three tournaments. There's everybody else, pretty much. Do you know what I mean? So is there more pressure on us? There was more pressure on us last year at the Euros. Yes, probably there was. But everybody's played a lot of football, haven't they, in the last two or three seasons? It's not just us. And yes, I think that's a factor in our performance levels dropping slightly. Of course, it's obvious that's going to happen at some stage. But it would be a similar... We can't blame that, because it would be... Everyone's in the same boat, aren't they? It's not like we've played more games than everybody else. I mean, I don't know individually how many games that each player has played in all the squads. You'd have to work it out. But I wouldn't be surprised if all the top players have played the same number of games, roughly. They've all played Champions League games for three seasons. They've all gone deep into that competition, their domestic games. You know, look at all the German players, for example. You know, they're playing... They're getting to cup finals every year domestically, aren't they? They're going well in the Champions League. They're playing the European tournaments for Germany. So are we playing more games than them? No, we're probably on a par. So we can't use that as an excuse. It is a reason for our form dropping off, quite potentially, I agree. But everybody's in the same boat. I mean, do you think that's... Obviously, it must play a part, Andreas, mustn't it, in the number of games. But other teams look fresher than we do, and they play the same games.
Yeah, that's a problem for all nations. that their key players played too many games in the last two, 3 years. And I read an interview with Viv. I think she made it for a Dutch newspaper or online magazine. And before the tournament, in which she said there will be more serious injuries during the World Cup to key players. And probably ACL injuries. And yeah, she's right. We see this
already.
Yeah, we see this now, and there are more injuries coming. And this is a problem for all nations, for all teams, that their key players had to play too many matches, too many games in the last years. Of course, USA, Japan, they look fresher. Like we do, but there are others like Sweden, like Norway, who had also probably France. They look we look fresher than these teams, and you see the problems other teams have when they miss key players. Just mentioning Australia with the outstanding or game-changing player, Sam Kerr. They are missing Sam Kerr. And look what is left from Australia. They won one match with a penalty and lost a second match. And everybody said, this is a weak opponent. And now they are running into the danger of being out in group stage. France had a bad start. Let's see whether they develop or will have problem to qualify. And Sweden with their first win was not the best match. They all have the same problems, that their key players have played too much and they don't look fresh. They have problems. Norway with fantastic names in their squad. When you look on the names they can field. You say they must be candidate at least for the quarterfinals or the semifinals, and now probably Norway will be out in group stage. Of course, it's a problem of the manager. I think Hege Riese, she had not the bad reputation after her time for England or for Team Great Britain, and she doesn't seem to be the best coach. But anyway, if you have such fantastic players, You could expect a team to play better, at least better football than Norway does, no matter what the coach, whether the coach is good or not. So others have their problems too, and you can't say it's an English problem that we had to play too many matches. It's the tournament of missing key players due to injuries. You can field with the players that are out. You could field a team that beats every other team in this World Cup.
But, yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I mean, that's right. It's not, we can't blame that as an excuse, because a load of other teams are in the same situation, aren't they? So we've got to be able to cope with it as well. But yeah, obviously that's going to affect individual performances and injuries as well. As Viv said, you know, you're right. Players get injured when they play a lot of football because the body's not getting enough time to recover properly in between matches. And that's a fact. I mean, I thought the injury today, and it's not the first time we've seen an injury like that where, you know, is it to do with the boots? Because it's like the foot's getting stuck in the grass, isn't it? The foot's sort of stopping in the grass. And obviously that's what's causing the pressure on the knees, isn't it? And it's happened a few times. It's not just this one today. You know, Leah Williams' run was very similar, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And we've seen a lot of others as well. You know, is it a combination of the pitches and the football boots maybe are contributing to some of these? Not all of them, but... You know, some of them seem to be caused by that. That one today, I thought that's all it was, wasn't it? You know, Kira Wall stretched to try and get the ball, and her boot stopped in the pitch, and her leg didn't stop, did it? Because she was, her body was moving her forward. And this has happened a few times, I say, and I don't know. They need to obviously look at all the, and I'm sure they are looking at all the possible reasons for these injuries, but something needs to happen. And yes, as I think it was Jonas again, wasn't it, said the other day about the number of games need to be looked at. We need bigger squads of players at tournaments. We need bigger squads of players anyway, so that you can rotate more. And they need to look at the recovery between games. And it's been a problem for a long time, and it's getting worse in the women's game because the games are increasing season after season with new competitions and, you know, everything else that's gone on. Group stage in the Champions League, more games there, and all these tournaments every single summer at the minute. It's something that needs to be looked at going forward, but it's not gonna help us now, is it? And it's not gonna help all those players that have got injuries now. It's too late for them, unfortunately. But let's hope that they can look at it in a different way in the future, not just think about the money that they can make from the game, but actually what's gonna be beneficial. They can't keep having these injuries constantly happening all the time. They can't keep playing the number of games that they're playing with very little recovery time. You know, the players finish the season. A couple of weeks later, they're back on having to prepare for a World Cup. Then the World Cup finishes. A couple of weeks later, they're having to prepare for the new season. It's just too much. It is too much. This has been, like you said, Terry, you're right. Three years in a row now we've had this. The summer tournament, very little time in between, and then the season starts again, and you go through the whole thing again. And yeah, people say, well, it's their job. That's what they do. But, you know, it's not like they have jobs like most of us where we're maybe sitting down all day. That is their job as well. So 7 days a week, they're putting strain on their bodies, and then they're going through these big matches every single week. And yeah, it's something needs to be done. It won't, unfortunately. I don't think it won't change. You know, they're not going to reduce the number of games now, are they? Already this World Cup's seen the most number of teams in it. The next one will probably have even more. There'll be even more games. And because all they see is the pound notes in front of their face and not anything else. And unfortunately, the people running the game are responsible for that. And it's not going to change. But yeah, I mean, it is a problem. It's a problem for everybody. And we've got to find a way. Our players have got to find a way to get that extra energy from somewhere for the next couple of weeks to be able to go a long way in this tournament, or we'll be coming home on a plane for 24 hours, whatever it takes to get back from Australia. Let's hope that's not the case. Terry says, Beth England was unlucky today with the one and only decent cross into the box. It was, yeah. Just think that one good cross came too early for her. Yeah, I mean, I thought she was unlucky with that. And that's the sort of cross where, you know, Alyssa Russo would have been crying out for a cross like that all through the game, wouldn't she? And she didn't get one, unfortunately. And then Beth's on for 10 minutes and gets one and nearly scored. But that's just the way football goes, isn't it? I mean, I think, you know, we've all been focusing quite a lot on Russo these last couple of games, because we know she's an Arsenal player now, and we're looking at her in that. Maybe in last year's Euros, we enjoyed Russo's performances coming on, scoring goals and whatnot, but we maybe wasn't looking at her performances in the same way because she was a Man United player. Now she's an Arsenal player, and I think we're looking at her game I'm looking at her a lot more now, thinking this is what she's going to be able to bring to Arsenal. And so far, she's not getting the service to get the best out of her. Let's hope Jonas watching is writing a few notes down. How can I get the best out of this player? Because clearly not the way England have been playing at the moment. So, but anyway, I mean, we've been looking at her performance maybe in a slightly different way. And it kind of leads me on a little bit to, you know, there's been quite a lot of the Arsenal girls have played in this World Cup already. Most of them, that, well, all of them that there have played, apart from Lotta hasn't come on at all, has she? But they've all played some sort of part to varying degrees of success. We've had a few good goal scorers. Katie McCabe, of course, the other day with that brilliant goal for Republic of Ireland from a corner. Their first ever goal at a World Cup. Brilliant to see her get that goal. There was, of course, that late winner from Amanda Elstad for Sweden last week. That was a great goal as well. And, of course, there was Steph Catley's penalty, a winning goal as well, wasn't there, for Australia. So, you know, some of our players have had a good month. I thought Katarina Kuhl did okay today in a fairly low-key Denmark performance. I thought she played quite well, didn't she? She had some good moments in that game. So she's having a pretty good tournament, a young player that's going to look good. Obviously, USA yesterday against Holland, we saw Victoria Pullover. I thought she did well again, didn't she, yesterday, Victoria Pullover. I thought she had a good game, didn't she, against America. I only saw highlights of the game, but she looked good, what I saw of it.
Yeah, what I saw, she was good, as we know her. And she had this assist for the Dutch goal from Giroud. Yeah, it's good to see that our players get lots of minutes. Katrin Kuhl starting for Denmark is very important for her on this stage, with 19 years of age, playing a World Cup. Good for her development, for her self-confidence. And all our defenders are scoring goals. You mentioned them, Katie, Amanda, Steph. Now we're waiting for our attackers to score goals. Caitlin, Alessia, this would be good. I think Caitlin has a good tournament so far as well.
Yeah.
Of course, there's a lot more responsibility and expectations on her shoulders now that she's the one and only striker for Australia. But she's doing very good, I think. And I think our players are doing well, and I'm really happy when the match is over and there are no more injuries to our players. It's really difficult, and what you said, when the World Cup ends, then there is preparation for Champions League qualifiers, and there is Nations League before the WSL starts. There is Nations League, and you can't take Nations League as friendly matches as it was before, because the Nations League offers the chance for qualifying for the Olympics, and every player will want to be at the Olympics, so they will want to play Nations League and take this serious. So the problems we have now in women's world football, they will continue, and they will getting worse, even worse in the next years with this new competition.
That's what I'm saying. They're putting more games in already. They're putting more and more games in when we need less games, really, don't we? That's not more games. But that's simply a financial incentive, isn't it? That's all it is. It's not about anything else. And unfortunately, we saw this coming 2 or 3 years ago when, you know, the way the game was heading, we kind of could see it coming, unfortunately. Terry says, yeah, the sad thing is people pay good money to see the Meadows of this world, and if they're out injured, people will stop going. I'm not sure people will necessarily stop going, but yeah, I mean, obviously, if you turn up to a game, a top game, and all the top players are not playing because they're all injured, it's not going to be the same, is it? And the standard of the football is going to drop, and the spectacle is not going to be as good. So long term, that would have an effect. I'm sure it would, because less people would want to watch it. You're probably right. And it's not going to be in a position to attract new people, is it, if the standard of football drops because all the best players are injured and not playing? So yeah, it's definitely going to have a knock-on effect, there's no doubt about that. But yeah, I mean, they're not thinking that far ahead, are they? They're just thinking short term, how much money can we make out of this while it's popular? And unfortunately, it may not, as you say, it may not remain as popular if all the players are injured, all the best players are injured, and we're getting reserve games in the WSL because that's all the players that's left. And that's not what people want to see, is it? That's not the product that people want. Terry says, I think we should all go on strike until Lotta Uber Moy gets a game. To be honest, I don't know quite what she's got to do to get a game, if I'm honest with you. but anyway, you know, I don't know what's going on with Lotta, to be honest. She's had a great season with us again. You know, we've got one or two issues at the back. I don't understand why she's not got any minutes at all. But, you know, I say I'm not going to question Serena too much because she doesn't get too much wrong. She made a big call today, bringing Lauren James in, and Lauren James scored the winning goal. So, you know, Serena can do no wrong, can she? Let's be honest. But, yeah, it baffles me sometimes how Lotta doesn't get a game at all. You know, baffling when how well she's played for Arsenal over the last couple of seasons in particular. So I don't know. But anyway, if England keep winning, keep keeping clean sheets, we can't really have too many complaints with the lineup, I suppose. We'll have to suffer it and hope that Lotta gets an opportunity at some point later on in some game or other and can get on the pitch in a World Cup, because that would be great for her, wouldn't it? She deserves it. There's no doubt about that. So, yeah, she's maybe been the biggest disappointment from an Arsenal perspective because she's not got on the pitch yet, you know, and it's, you know, it seems strange. I was a bit surprised that Chloe Lacasse didn't start for Canada the other day as well, actually, because I thought she played well in the game before and then she didn't get to start the next one. But anyway, you know, the managers have got their way of doing things, the players that they like to pick, and that's the way it is. I suppose it'll always be like that, won't it? So, but yeah, some decisions. But no, you're right about Caitlin Ford as well, Andreas. I think she's had a really good tournament, actually, really good. She's looked a very, very good player. We know she is, and she's doing it on the stage at a home tournament. So, you know, brilliant for her. And Steph as well. I think Steph's had a great World Cup, to be fair, as well. You know, Steph Catley been captain of the Matildas, and she stepped up and played really well. So, yeah, that's good news for us, because it's nice when you see our players playing well at a World Cup, because they'll get confidence from that and it'll help them going into the new season, won't it? Which is good. If they all have good tournaments, they're going to be buzzing for the new season, and hopefully they'll bring that form in. So, yeah, I agree. If I haven't managed to see a game live that I know potentially an Arsenal player has been involved in, the first thing I'll do is check the team. Did they play? Did they finish the game? Did they get injured? No, they didn't. Right, brilliant. Fantastic. That's another game out of the way. And eventually we'll get to the end where there's no more Arsenal players left and we can relax about injuries. But yeah, I mean, it just goes to show today how easy it can happen. And, you know, it's in the lap of the gods in many ways, isn't it? Let's just hope that Arsenal certainly don't suffer anymore, and England don't suffer anymore in this World Cup, because it's just, we've had no luck whatsoever, have we? And that kind of summed it up for me today. What I want to just quickly sort of touch on really a little bit is the World Cup as a whole so far. We've had, what, a week and one day. You know, every team's played at least once. Some teams have played twice. We've got a good feel of it. What have you made of the World Cup so far, Andreas? Have you been enjoying it? I know the kickoff times haven't helped because it's been difficult to watch them all, but have you enjoyed it so far, or do you think there's maybe more to come?
Difficult to say, because of the kickoff times, I didn't have the chance to see a lot. I saw all the highlights in the evening, but it's highlights, about 10 minutes of a game. It's not the real feeling for a match. So I personally would say the level of the Euros last year was higher than at the World Cup right now. The positive thing is that the gap between the top nations and the smaller countries, the outsiders, this gap has closed. You have very, very few outsiders that are chanceless in the matches. But if you see how they performed, like South Africa, like Jamaica, or I don't remember every match now, but of course, Costa Rica was one of the weakest teams, but Haiti did great. Nigeria, nobody expected Nigeria to be leading their group after two matches. So, the gap has closed, and this is a positive fact of this World Cup, that the women's football in the whole world has developed. The atmosphere in Australia is very good. The stadiums are full. They have 30, 40,000. In New Zealand, it's a little bit different. They have only 6,000 or less than 10,000. So, yeah, the audience not the same as in Australia, I think. And it would help if New Zealand qualifies, but I don't see them go through. Yeah, there's Philippines is another team, such an outsider team. I thought they will lose all their three matches, and they really played well. I think this is the really positive effect of this World Cup, that we see the development of the women's football in the whole world, and that there are very few really small teams that are not competitive.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, that has been a big feature of this World Cup so far, isn't it? That, you know, yes, okay, Germany won 6-0 and Spain won 5-0, didn't they? And, you know, Japan won 5-0. There's been a few games there, but overall, you're right, that gap has closed a lot, hasn't it? And it's getting to a point almost where you can't take these smaller nations for granted anymore if you get them in a tournament. We saw that with Haiti. You know, they gave us a great game, didn't they? And they were unlucky not to maybe get something out of that game. So, yeah, that has been a big fact. I'll tell you something else that stood out for me is I think the quality of the goalkeeping in this World Cup has been really high, actually, overall, hasn't it? And I can remember going back maybe to 2015 World Cup, for example, and some of the goalkeeping was almost comedy, wasn't it? You know, as recently as that. And now I think the standard of the goalkeeping in this World Cup so far has been, I think it's been brilliant overall. Yes, there's been some howlers as well. Of course, there has a few. But overall, I think the quality of the goalkeeping has been brilliant, actually. And that's one thing that really, I think, really not just in this World Cup, over the last couple of years in general, I think it's improved in the women's game, the standard of the goalkeeping. So I don't know whether the coaching's improving, whatever it is, but it's working. And it's great because, you know, we've seen some fantastic saves in this World Cup. Penalties being saved right, left and centre. We've seen all sorts going on. So that's been another, for me, that's been another positive, has been the performance of the goalkeepers. And yeah, it's been difficult to get into the World Cup because of the kickoff times, you know, and I can't feel, even if I'm up, and sometimes I've been off work a bit the last few weeks, and even if I've been up and watched the games, I can't get into a game as much at 8 o'clock in the morning as you can at 8 o'clock at night. It's just not the same, is it? You're in a different place mentally as well, and I can't quite get my head into it. And, you know, but I've enjoyed what I've seen. I must be honest. I've enjoyed the football that I've seen. I've tried to watch as much as I can. I've missed a lot of games, obviously, catch up with the highlights and whatever. But yeah, it's been an interesting World Cup so far. I don't think it's quite took off 100% yet. I still think there's obviously the knockout stages where it's all the fireworks happen, don't they? Anyway, but there's been a lot to enjoy about it so far, the first week or so. And I'm looking forward to trying to watch as much as I can next week. I'll have a bit more time next week to watch more, and then I'm going to be busy after that, so I probably won't get to see much of it going into the latter stages, unfortunately. But no, I think it's been a lot to enjoy. It's been good to see the Arsenal women doing so well. It's been, you know, good to see some great performances from some of the bigger teams as well. Some of the bigger players have stepped up, haven't they? Put in some good performances as well, which is, you know, even though they play for teams that we want to lose because we don't want them to go through, it's nice to see the good players turning up in tournaments and playing well, isn't it? Because that's what World Cups are about, aren't they? That's what you remember, don't you, in years to come. You look back on a World Cup and it's the big players who have turned out and played well that you remember, don't you? From the men's World Cups like Maradona and Pele and people like that, and from the women, that's what you want to remember it for, don't you? You know, Megan Rapinoe from the last World Cup and stuff like that. You know, they're the things that you take out of it. And this World Cup hasn't disappointed so far in that sense. You know, a lot of the big names have done well. So that's good to see as well. Terry says the TV channels didn't really seem to be pushing the World Cup, i.e. BBC and ITV. Highlights have been on too late. And if you blink, the program's over. Yeah, we mentioned that last week. The highlights are really, they rush through it, don't they? And sometimes there's three games in a day and they're cramming it into half an hour and they're just rushing through it. You don't get a lot of anything. And that's something they should have put a little bit more time into. I think it's even more important this World Cup, in this country in particular, with the kickoff times, that the highlights programmes they give more time to, because people can't watch the live games always because of the kickoff time. So they need to put more time and effort into the highlights programmes because they're even more important in this World Cup than in... They wasn't as important last year in the Euros because people could just watch the games. Yeah. Now, you can't watch the games. You need a better highlights package. And they haven't put enough. Is it investment into it? Is it timing? I don't know what it is, but I agree, Terry, yeah, that the highlights program, I wouldn't necessarily say they're on too late. I mean, on the BBC, I've been watching them on the iPlayer, actually. So pretty much we can watch them anytime you want on the iPlayer. So it's fine. But it's rushed. They're doing it in 25. I think it was 22 minutes there the other night. Three games. It was on for 22 minutes. It's nowhere near enough time to give it proper coverage that you need. I mean, I don't want loads and loads of analysis, but you want a little bit of, you know, they don't even give you the team lineups before the game. They just go straight into it. You know, the first bit of highlights they show are like 25 minutes into the game, unless there's been a goal. And it's like, where's the build up to it? Where's a little bit of, you know, a little bit of team information? And then after the game, they might give 2 seconds of an interview with somebody and that's it. It's like, no, come on, let's give us a bit more. We need more because we can't see the World Cup games live and it's frustrating. So, yeah, that's it's something. What's it like in Germany? What are the highlights like there? Are you getting good highlights or not really?
The TV coverage for the live coverage is very good. There are pundits in studio and it's before the match and at halftime, after the match, and that's really good coverage. I had the chance to see this week some of the live coverage, but the highlights you have to go into live streams or the zone or something, and you get the highlights from a match, but it's not a highlight show. You have just to pick one match and you see between 5 and 10 minutes, but only highlights, no interviews, no comments, no pundits who are analyzing this. Just pick your match. Then I saw this match, the highlights, then I pick the next, see the highlights from this one, then I pick the third one. I've seen everything, but it's not a real show around this. And this is not done very well because yeah, not many people are able to watch in the morning, or today was it was the England match at German time 10:30, and after the England match was the China match. I had the day off, so I could watch both matches and the coverage and the commentary from the pundits and everything. But if I'm going back to work next week, I depend on the highlights, and I know that I will only see between 5 and 10 minutes highlights from the matches I pick in on the zone or in media takes from ARD, ZDF, it's like BBC in England, but not a highlight show. So it's better than in England.
Wow, I mean that shocks me, because our highlights packages have been terrible in this World Cup actually. So yeah, at least it's a show. Yeah, you're right. At least we do a show, I suppose. Yeah, which is probably better then. But I mean, it made me. I mean, today I watched, like yourself, I was off today. I watched the China Haiti game as well after the England game. Now, it was on ITV over here. And what they did was, after the game had finished, they did a little bit of analysis. Great. They did some interviews. Great. And then for about half an hour after that, they waffled on pointlessly. And then tonight, when they put their highlights package on, they could have extended that out a little bit, cut the live coverage off after half an hour after the game had finished. That was enough time to have got everything in, and added that extra half an hour that they didn't need at the end of the live game into the highlights to make the highlights better. That's what they should be doing. But, you know, I don't know why they don't do that. It must be to do with TV scheduling in the evenings. Maybe they look at other things being more important to have on the telly than World Cup highlights. Quite what that would be, I don't know, but I mean, it seems crazy, really. But I mean, not to even have a highlight show is madness, isn't it, for a World Cup? It just doesn't seem, especially one that's over the other side of the world, and the kickoff times are all over the place. It's mad, isn't it? So at least we get something, even if it's not very good, I suppose. But that's life, isn't it? Terry says, "I ain't got a TV license. I haven't had one for 5 or 6." Well, just. When you go onto the iPlayer, you have to tell them if you've got one. Just say yes. They're not going to check, are they? Just say yes and watch it. That's what everyone else does. Don't pay for it. Just watch it. It's fine. No one cares. Terry says, yeah, yes, spot on address. Exactly what I mean. Yeah, it's what you have to get, make the most of what you can with it, because there's not a lot out there, is it? So there you go. Andreas says, when you say going back to work, is that for Arsenal or your... flying around the world doing your international man of mystery? Well, that's a side job, that, isn't it? The international man of mystery, that's just a side job. But it's an important job as well. But highlights need to have been done better. There's no doubt about that everywhere by the look of it. And it's something that needs to be looked at, because you get Match of the Day, we'll be starting up in a few weeks' time when the Premier League's back, and they'll waffle on for 2 hours on a Saturday night when they could cram it into 45 minutes and it would still be enough. And yet the World Cup, you need 45 minutes or an hour, and they're giving you 25 minutes. It's just ridiculous. Again, it comes down to money, probably. That's probably what it comes down to, isn't it? What money the TV companies make from showing highlights of the World Cup, the Women's World Cup. They probably don't make a lot of money from it, so they stick it, just quickly run through it just to have something there, just to keep people quiet, and we won't bother too much of it. But there you go. See, they
it's all about the money. And for next season, German Bundesliga becomes Monday night games. And already on the second weekend, Bayern Munich has to play their home match on Monday night at 7:30. What do they expect? How many people should come into a stadium at Monday evening? If you want to have families for the women's game, you can't go with your little children on Monday night when they have to go to school on Tuesday. It's stupid. It's all about the money because they have new TV coverage and then there must be one Monday night game that can be shown live on TV. I think they'll have maybe an attendance of 1,000 for a Monday night match. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, and I mean, we've had the same in the WSL, haven't we? Playing on a Friday night, playing on a Sunday late and a Sunday evening for TV. And yeah, it's crazy. I mean, yeah. I suppose it's Friday night. It's a little bit different, I suppose, because it's a weekend on a Saturday. Maybe that's slightly different. It's still not ideal, is it? But getting home and getting there and stuff. But the Sunday one's crazy as well. So yeah, unfortunately, nothing surprises me anymore when it comes to stuff like that, you know, when it comes to the money side of it and all that. So yeah, I don't know what's happening with that. But Wayne's in the chat. He said, "Evening, gents. How are you doing, Wayne? Good to see you, my friend. Hope you're well. Hope you enjoyed the England game today, even though it wasn't the best game." Terry says, "I know this has nothing to do with England, but has anybody heard from Matt?" Yeah, I mean, Matt's he's just busy working. So he's hoping that when the season starts, he can be back on the show a bit more regular. But yeah, it's just work, unfortunately, you know. We all need to work, don't we, to pay the bills, and sometimes it can get in the way of all the fun stuff that you like to do outside of work. It can do sometimes. Unfortunately for Matt, that's his situation. Same with Amar tonight as well. He works, you know, prevented him from coming on the show. It's just unfortunately the way it goes. Sometimes it's, you know, it happens, doesn't it? So, but yeah, so Matt's fine. He's just busy at the minute. He'll be back on the show soon. Don't worry. We all miss him, but he'll be back soon, so it's fine. We look forward to seeing him again. Of course, England's next game now is on Tuesday against China. We should win that, shouldn't we, Andreas? Do you think we should win that game on Tuesday? Fairly, not, I wouldn't say comfortably, because we're not beating anybody comfortably, but we should win it, shouldn't we?
We should win it, and I'd say we'll win it 1-0 once again. I don't expect us to score more goals, and I'd be happy if we score a goal just out of the field, not a penalty or a set piece, just like today. I would be happy with this, and I think it will be another 1-0. Of course, this would be brilliant. Three games and three wins in group stage. What could you expect more? So if I'm right with the 1-0, then it would be fantastic, I think.
Absolutely. I mean, I always say, you know, I'll take a 1-0 every single... If we win every game at the World Cup 1-0, I'll be quite happy with that. That would be perfect, wouldn't it?
You're champions.
Exactly, yeah. So we'll take that all day long. I mean, all these 8-0 wins and stuff like that are fun, but they don't mean anything, do they? You still get the same result. You've still got your 3 points, or you've still got three if it's a knockout game. So whether it's 1-0 or 8-0, it's just a little bit less stressful, I suppose, if you're 5-0 up at half-time, whatever it is. So, but anyway, I agree. I think it will be a tight game. China haven't been scoring goals. Their only goal was a penalty today, which was a bit of a suspect penalty anyway. They've not looked that great. So you'd struggle to see them scoring against us, I would say. You know, they've not conceded too many goals, have they, either? So they've only conceded that one in the last minute against Denmark. So they're fairly strong defensively as well. We're not scoring goals. So maybe 1-0 makes sense for that game. Maybe it does. Maybe it makes perfect sense. Be nice if we did put in a bit more of a goal-scoring performance and get two or three goals and, you know, put in a statement performance before the knockout stage to the teams that we might be facing, that we are here, we are ready to go. But I'll take a 1-0, win the three games, get through, win the group, move on. And yeah, that's pretty much all we can do, isn't it? And hope for the best there. But yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if it was 1-0. Terry says, "Amo, if you watch this later, good evening, and we've missed you." Yeah, of course we miss Amo and he's not on. So yeah, if you are watching Amo, we will see you very soon, I'm sure. Terry says, "Andreas has turned into Matt with his predictions." 4-1 England, Russo hat-trick, and a lot of women probably won't come on, will she, to score ahead. It'd be nice if she did. I don't think China are going to score against us, to be honest. can't see it. From what I've seen of them so far, I can't see them scoring against us. But yeah, I'll go 2-0 just because, you know, just to be different. But I wouldn't be surprised if it was 1-0 the way this tournament's gone so far. But that'll be fine. We'll win 1-0, go through. Obviously, we can't finish, Andreas, about talking about Germany's rather good performance the other night against Morocco. You know, they should cruise through that group, shouldn't they?
Yeah, it was a perfect start for Germany. And, of course, Alex Popp with two headers once again. I think she has a good chance to be player of the tournament if she continues this way. German performance was much better than I expected. Now they have an injury problem in defense too, with Feli Rauch suffered a knee injury and she's out for indefinite time. It might be difficult against Colombia, but I think the way Germany started the tournament, they have so much self-confidence and they have Alex Popp. As long as she's not getting injured, then she will score. And so I'm sure they will win against Colombia on Sunday. And they have South Korea, normally 3 wins for Germany. And as normal, they are a candidate for going to at least quarterfinal, semifinal.
Yeah, I would say so. They did look impressive in that game. Yes, Morocco wasn't the greatest opposition for anybody to have played, but, you know, you play what's in front of you, and they did play very well. And, you know, what we said before about last summer, things seemed to go in our favour. The fact that, you know, Pop got that injury before the final and stuff like that, everything went in our favour, didn't it? Had Pop played in that final, the result could have been different because, you know, we know how dangerous she is, and she's proved that again in this World Cup already. So yeah, it's... you know, that's something that may well have again been in our favor last year and maybe not so much this year. We'll have to see. Bongo Green is in the chat. He says, "Come on, you Gunners, indeed." He says, "Just drop it in for a like for you." He's like, "Cheers, mate. Good to see you. Hopefully, we'll speak soon anyway. No doubt when the season's up and running again." Terry says, "There, Pop is like a machine." Yeah, she is. Definitely is a machine. Yeah, she did play really well the other day. Wade says, "Alex Pop the robot." Yeah, she is a bit. Yeah, that's exactly what she's like. But, you know, she does what she's there to do, and, you know, that's the way it goes. And she is a great player. There's no doubt about that. And of course, she did score a header against us in the Champions League semi final as well, didn't she? In the second leg. So, you know, she does it all the time. You know, she must have scored more headers than anyone else in women's football. Probably, I don't know. But she seems to score a header every time I watch her play. She gets a header every single game. So yeah, I mean, she's definitely going to be in the shout of top scorer, I think, as well, isn't she? I know there's the Brazilian got a hat trick in that game the other night, but I think over the tournament, Alex Popp, if she stays fit, is likely to be in the running for Golden Boot, isn't she? I'm sure. So I don't think any England player is going to win Golden Boot this time by the look of it, but you never know. It only takes one game, you get a hat trick in one game in the knockouts, who knows? And it could all change, kind of. But yeah, no, Germany look good. Only one game so far they've played, but it was an impressive performance and they look strong. Spain have looked good in 2 games, you know, again, mediocre-ish opposition, but you can only beat what's there, and they've done the job they've had to do and they've done it impressively. So, yeah, some good performances from some of the big teams already. England yet to really catch fire, but 2 wins out of 2. And, you know, I'll say there's a few nations in this World Cup that would have swapped with us all day long for those 2 victories, wouldn't they? Australia in particular, I'm sure, would love to have 2 wins on the board. So, you know, we can't complain too much. We've got to take the positives. Look ahead to China on Tuesday and hopefully get the 3 wins out of 3, qualify at the group stage, not letting in any goals would be nice. And Terry says that's the difference when you put in good crosses. Well, no, it is, I agree. But sometimes even an average cross, Pop can make it a good cross by actually getting on the end of it and knowing where to be and attacking the ball. You know, she just does that knack, doesn't she? Yes, the crosses are good as well. But even sometimes it doesn't have to be a great cross when someone's that good in the air. You just put it in there somewhere and she'll find a way of getting on the end of it. And that seems to be what she does. So, but yeah, she's got that ability, natural ability to get on the end of those crosses and put them in the net, which is great. Bongo Gumina says, not following the Women's World Cup, busy with work and can't watch the games. Yeah, we were just saying that it's difficult, isn't it? Just check the scores. We'll be back again when it says, yeah, I'm sure you will, mate. We look forward to seeing you. He says it. And you all stay safe. And for yourself, mate, yeah, we look forward to speaking soon after the World Cup's finished. I mean, it's only a couple of weeks till the Premier League season starts, isn't it? 2 or 3 weeks. So, you know, we'll be around before we know it. The World Cup will still be going on. So we'll be doing the World Cup. We'll have the Premier League. There'll be loads of stuff going on, which will be good, won't it? So, yeah. But, yeah, for the time being, we're going to focus on the World Cup because it's here and we're enjoying it. So England won today. Not necessarily the free flow in England that we saw last year, but we'll take a 1-0 every single week. We're used to 1-0s at Arsenal, aren't we? So it's fine. As long as we win, we're quite happy. And I say we move on to China. Just the draws needed. I'm sure we'll be good enough to at least get that, move into that knockout stage, and go forward from there. There's some games coming up over the weekend as well. So if you want to get to watch them, that'll be good. I think there's a few more better kickoff times on a weekend, which is strange because people are there to watch the games and they kick off at a more normal time. But anyway, we'll watch what we can over the weekend as well. And we'll be back on Tuesday night. Are you around Tuesday night, Andreas, are you, for the England game?
Yeah, I should be free on Tuesday night, yes. Yes,
Cool. Right. So, yeah, we'll be back Tuesday. Maybe Amal might be available Tuesday, depending on what his shifts are. And maybe Matt as well might be able to pop in. Who knows? We'll have to see. We don't know what's happening yet. But we'll be back on Tuesday. I may well do a watch along of the game as well if I'm around. I should be on Tuesday because I say I'm off next week. So I should be able to do something there for that as well. And I say we'll be back to look back on it on Tuesday, look back at all the rest of the games that's going on as well. And the World Cup, it's been a good World Cup so far. And, you know, it's been a good World Cup for England. Let's not get too bogged down with the fact that we're not winning games 5-0 and 6-0 like some of the other teams are. We've beat what's in front of us. We've won our two games and you can't do no more than win your game, can you? You know, you can't win twice. You just win once. That's all you've got to do. Win your game and that's it. So we've done that. We'll move on. And obviously we wish Kira Walsh all the best as well. Hopefully the injury is not too bad and whatever the injury is, we hope that you're back playing as soon as possible. We look forward to seeing you playing again as soon as you can. And let's hope it's not as bad as it did look. It didn't look great. Let's be honest, it didn't. But let's hope it's not that bad. And you're back playing again very, very soon. Can we not call somebody back into the squad to replace her? We can't, can we? Now the tournament started. It's too late, isn't it?
When the tournament starts, you have no chance. You have to. You can only use the 23 players that are nominated, and the backups were flying home after the tournament started. So no chance to replace her.
That's a shame, isn't it? So early on in the tournament, losing such a key player. But I suppose that's life, isn't it? That's what can happen, unfortunately. But yeah, hopefully Kira's back soon. And we look forward to seeing her playing again as soon as possible. So yeah, so that's England. And we won. We're virtually through by, you know, hook or by crook, we did it. Well played Lauren James today, I have to say that. She was brilliant. Great goal. Brilliant to see England score from open play for a change as well, which was nice, wasn't it? And a great goal it was. Andreas, thank you very much for joining us. Have you enjoyed the show?
Of course. I love women's football and I love to talk about it. So it's always a pleasure to be in the show.
And it's always a pleasure to have you as well. And I say maybe next time we may see Amar again or Matt or somebody you don't know. If not, it doesn't matter. Me and Andreas can hold the fort. We're fine. We'll crack on. We'll get the show out for you anyway. Don't worry. So yeah, we're back Tuesday. So enjoy the rest of your weekend, whatever you're getting up to. I'll be seeing some local football, watching a bit more of the World Cup. Hopefully we might get a bit of sunshine. It was a bit of sunshine today. So maybe we might get a nice weekend of weather as well. It'd be good, wouldn't it? But we'll have to see. So thanks for joining us tonight. Thanks for watching the show. If you enjoyed it, give us a like. Give us a like anyway. And if you didn't enjoy it, it doesn't matter. It's free. It's just good fun. So do that. And if you haven't done so already, please consider subscribing to the channel. There's not been as much going on, you know, without the regular games at normal times. But, you know, we'll do what we can through the World Cup. And, of course, the new season's up and running very soon. So we'll be back to normal once all that's going. So stick with us. I say thanks for watching today. Thanks to Andreas, as always. And we'll see you on Tuesday. Enjoy your weekend. Come on, you Lionesses. Let's keep this going and let's keep winning. That's all we can do. See you later, guys. Take it easy. Lionesses, you come so far. Don't forget who you are. Your boots are yours, but also ours. Giving hope to rising stars. Lionesses, here.